Today's mitzvah wasn't hard to find one in the parsha, and the trick is to find, you know, a few things to focus on because it's obviously too big. The mitzvah is Bris Mila, which is introduced in this week's parsha, and not just introduced. I would think, you know, for all of Sefer Bereishis, and obviously we don't think of Sefer Bereishis as being a halachic sefer, and the Rama makes clear that Sefer Bereishis is not. You know, mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nevertheless, you know, the psukim in this week's parsha really read halachically. And not a single person here, you know, doesn't associate the mitzvah of Bris Milah with Avram Avinu. Right? We don't associate it with Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, it was barely given at Har Sinai in a way that, you know, there's a pasuk in Tazria, Ubayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Laso. But it's in the context of Tazria. This week's parsha, the mitzvah is really introduced and introduced in detail. And I think all of us, including the Rambam, you know, look back to this week's parsha as the source for the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Again, we're not going to talk today. It's a very interesting conversation. Is, you know, when does the Rambam use psukim from before Matan Torah as, you know, as the source for our halachic obligation? Generally speaking, the Rambam says, "Nitna Torah v'nischad shahalacha," meaning nothing from before Har Sinai matters halachically. It's clear that in this case, that's not the case. Okay, so maybe let's start with the psukim, and then we'll move on to broader topics. Okay, says the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu, and he says, Zot briti asher tishmeru beini uveinechem uvein zaracha acharecha himol lachem kol zachar. Right, this is our covenant, Bris Milah. So the truth is, I'm trying to limit my Zionism. The truth is, the context of this whole conversation is the giving of the land of Israel, which is almost certainly why Bris is a big part of benching, which is focused on the land of Israel. But leave that, okay? What is the mitzvah? Yud Aleph. Unemaltem, a strange word. Rashi talks, you don't really need the nun. Unemaltem et besar or latchem. V'haya le'ot berit beini uveinechem. Interesting. The removal of the arla is the sign of the covenant, meaning not the arla. We don't save the arla. It's its removal that is the sign of the covenant. When do you do it? Uben shmonat yamim yimol lachem kol zachar ledorotechem. You do it at 8 days, ledorotechem, right? You can't miss that word. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avraham Avinu, listen, I don't care what the Rambam's going to say later. I'm giving you this mitzvah, ledorotechem, forever. Yalid bayit umiknat kesef mikol ben nechar asher lo mizarachahu. It applies not just to sons, but it applies to slaves as well. Himol yimol yilid beitcha. Again, interesting double lashon. Himol yimol yilid beitcha. Umiknas kaspecha, things that you own. Vahaita briti bivisachem livrit olam. And my covenant will be on your body forever. Now, last pasuk, and really interesting halachically. Va'orel zachar asher lo yimol let bisar arlato. Okay, and somebody who does not have a bris milah, v'nichrita hanefesh ahim me'ameha, that person gets kares et briti hefar. So interesting. You know, Avram Avinu is being commanded to circumcise the members of his family, and Yishmael in particular. And it raises the question of exactly whose mitzvah is this, right? It's clear that there's somebody who's supposed to circumcise other people, but at the same time, if the person himself, you know, who gets kares? Well, the pasuk seems to say that the person himself gets kares, not anybody else. So the first topic we want to talk about, just to sort it out, because it helps put things in perspective, is exactly who is commanded in the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And let's just put two possibilities, right? The first is there's a mitzvah on each Jewish male to circumcise himself. The second possibility is there's a mitzvah on each Jewish father. The issue of mothers will come up in a second, but let's just say fathers for purposes of simplicity. There's a mitzvah on every father to circumcise his son. Okay, there's going to be a third possibility, and that is that it's a communal responsibility. Okay, those are the three options. Let's look at, there's one main source. This is the Gemara in Kiddushin in Chav Tes Amud Aleph in the context of, you know, mitzvos habein al ha'av. And the Gemara says as follows, the Tana Rabbanan, ha'av chayav bivno, the father is obligated to his son to do the following things, lamolo, to circumcise him, liftoso pidyon haben, lelamdo Torah, to teach him Torah, lasio isha, to marry him off, ulelamdo umanut, and to teach him a trade. V'yesh omrim, af lahashito b'mayim, also to teach him how to swim. And then a little editorial comment. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol she'eino melamed et b'no umanut, if you don't teach your son a trade, melamdo listus, you're teaching him to be a crook. Listus al kedaitach, not exactly, ela ki'ilu melamdo listus. Okay, this is an important source in the Gemara for the... But now let's get to the issue we care most about. The father is obligated, limolo, to circumcise his son, minalan, asks the Gemara, what's the source? Dichsiv, not the psukim we're dealing with in this week's parasha, later on, vayera, vayamal Avraham et Yitzchak bino. Okay, I would not have thought that that's such a binding halachic source. It sounds more like the narrative. Avraham circumcised his son. But in the Gemara, that's the source for the first obligation, the obligation of a father to circumcise his son. Second obligation. Vehecha delo mahale avuha. And let's say the father doesn't do his job. Mechayve beidina lemimhale. Then Bezdin, the community itself, takes on the obligation of doing it. Dichsiv himol lachem kol zachar. Right? That's one of our psukim. Himol lachem kol zachar means it's not an obligation on the father, the mother, the family. It's a communal obligation. The first opportunity goes to the father, but if he doesn't take that opportunity, I don't know if it's the next day or the next year, then strangely, right, the obligation transfers to Bezdin as a representative of the community. Third case. Vehecha delo mahale beidina, and let's say Bezdin doesn't do it, then mechayev ihu lemimhal nafshe. He, the child, the son, the obligation passes to him. Dichsiv va'arel zachar asher lo yimol et besar or lato v'nichrita. Okay, if he doesn't do it to himself, then he gets kares. Now let's just finish the Gemara. How do we know that the mother is not obligated? And the drasha is oto him v'lo ota. Okay, we'll come back to that. That's less simple than it looks. But let's just be clear. There are now three separate obligations related to the mitzvah of milah. One is the obligation on the father. Two, if the father doesn't do it, the obligation on the community. Three, if the community doesn't do it, presumably when the child becomes bar mitzvah, the obligation passes to him. Okay? And more than that, if he doesn't circumcise himself, he is subject to the punishment of kares. The father is not. Okay, if a father doesn't circumcise his son, he doesn't get kares. If Bezdin doesn't do it, they don't get kares. Only the child, when he grows up, gets kares. Now, according to some shitos, to machlokas and rishonim, he only gets kares, you know, on the day that he dies. Why? Because he can't get kares when he's 15, because he could do it any day of his life. It's a strange thing, right? Only at a point in time in his life when he can no longer do the mitzvah of milah does he get the punishment of kares. Okay, but what's clear is there are three separate obligations, all of which are subsumed under the general mitzvah of bris milah. That will lead to the question that we'll deal with, which, well, okay, whose mitzvah is it really, right? Is it the son's mitzvah? But, you know, the Torah says to do it at the age of 8 days. So obviously it's not realistic for the son to do it when he's 8 days old, so his father does it for him. but really the mitzvah is the son's, or the reverse. No, is the mitzvah really on the father? And it's only when the father doesn't do it that the mitzvah passes to the son. Or are there multiple obligations? We'll have to see how that plays out. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs in source number 3, Mitzvah Reish Tezvav, seems to say that the mitzvah belongs to the father. V'hamitzvah HaReish Tezvav. Now, by the way, just as a practical matter, you know, when the Torah talks about a mitzvah that takes place on the eighth day of a child's life, you know, obviously the Torah knows that an eight-dayer is not going to give himself a bris milah, right? So, you know, it could be that, you know, one of the great things about having a son is that, okay, you know, everybody had a parent who did a bris milah for him, and then he can do the mitzvah for his son. The Rambam says, v'amitzvah reish tezvav, hi shet sivanu lamul et haben. Right? That sounds like, it's unclear when he says shet sivanu, he's commanding us. I suppose the safest way to read it is he's commanding the father, right, to circumcise his son. V'hu kol zachar, that everybody needs a bris milah. V'katuv b'Torah shehu b'karet. Wait, who gets karet? Mi shemivatel mitzvat aseizo. V'hu amaro v'arel zachar asher lo yimolet b'sar or latov v'nichrita. It's a little confusing. The first part of the Rambam seems to say the mitzvah is on us to give a bris milah, you know, to our sons. But then the Rambam says, but if you're mevatel the mitzvah, you get kares. Now the Rambam knows full well the only person who gets kares is the child, not the father. So we're stuck between those two models, that it's the father's mitzvah, that if he doesn't do it, passes to the son. Or no, it's really the son's mitzvah, but the father has an opportunity to help him. And the Rambam has an interesting last line, which we won't focus on for too long, but it's sitting there. Ve'ein ha'isha mitzuva lamul et bina kimo sheha'av mitzuva b'zeh. Right? It's hard not to see that line in the Rambam and not ask yourself what's really going on. The Rambam knew how to write. Ve'ein ha'isha mitzuva lamul et bina. Period. Right? The wife is not obligated to circumcise her son. But the Rambam doesn't say that. He says the wife is not obligated to circumcise the son. Kimo sheha'av mitzuveh b'zeh. In the way that the father is obligated. Which I would suggest as follows. The father has a mitzvah. Remember, if the father doesn't do the mitzvah, the obligation passes. Who does it pass to? Well, technically it passes to Beis Din. But in the Rambam, it sounds like, you know, it might pass to the mother. Okay? There's no question that women play some role in the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And I know this from a story in the Torah. Which one?
Moshe.
Right. Sipora. You know, obviously it's a strange story. But Sipora gave a Bris Milah to Eliezer, the son of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. You know, that story's in the Torah. It obviously stands for something. Okay? But the higher obligation rests on the father. Good. Now, but let's see how Ellie, the Rambam...
Ellie, how can you use that as model? Was that pre-Matan Torah?
No, I think even in the Rambam, and again, there are mitzvos... Let's take the regular case. Again, this is a complicated case. Let's take the regular case of a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Lulav, shofar, sukkah, matzah. I mean, some of them aren't great examples. We paskin, women can do the mitzvah and they get rewarded. They're just not obligated. Okay, so it's clear that, you know, your first choice is having somebody who's obligated. But that doesn't mean that if a woman did it, there's no mitzvah. And certainly, as we'll talk about in a few minutes, what, you know, I don't mean to insult you, Henry, but my guess is, when your sons were born, you didn't sharpen your knife, right? You called Rabbi Katzenstein. So what? If Mindy called Rabbi Katzenstein, so there's something wrong with the bris milah of your sons, right? At some level, what we're talking about is getting a mitzvah done as opposed to doing the mitzvah. But we'll expand on that in a minute. Let's look at the Rambam in source number 4, the first halacha in Hilchos Milah. The Rambam says, Mila mitzvas aseh shechayavim aleha kares. So the first thing the Rambam tells you is, Bris Mila is an interesting mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah aseh for which the punishment is kares. We all know there are only two mitzvot aseh for which the punishment is kares, right? That's Mila and Karban Pesach. Otherwise, the 34 other cases, I just came across it this week, there's 36 cases of kares. The 34 other ones are for lo taseh, which means really, kares is not a punishment you find for a bitul mitzvah saseh. Okay? But the pasuk says it, so obviously it's the case, right? Varel zacha shel lo yimalat besar alato v'nichrita hanefesh ahim me'ameha. Umitzvah al ha'av lamul et bino. Again, here it seems to read in the Rambam, the mitzvah falls first on the father to circumcise his son. Okay, and on the master to circumcise his slaves. Avar ha'av o ha'adon v'lo malotan. What if he doesn't do it? Bitel mitzvat aseh. So he's mevatel his mitzvah of circumcising his son. Of karet, but he doesn't get karet. Why? She'ein ha'karet talui ela be'orel atzmo. Because the punishment of karet only applies to the person himself. So already you see this kind of strange construct in which there's a punishment of karet for not having bris milah, but it doesn't apply to the father, who the Rambam describes as being the primary obligor in the mitzvah. It only applies later on to the son. And the Rambam says there's also a third case. Ubeitin mitzuvim lamuloto habein o ha'eved bizmano v'lo yanichu arel b'Yisrael v'lo ba'abdehem. And we're not supposed to have uncircumcised Jews or uncircumcised slaves owned by Jews. And therefore, there's a communal obligation to enforce bris milah. Okay, sometimes that comes up in strange cases in Israel, you know, courts want to intervene. The Maisa, it doesn't happen that often. But again, it's this tripartite mitzvah that first falls on the father, then on the community, then on the son. The punishment for the father is a bitul mitzvah saseh. The punishment for Bezin is a bitul mitzvah saseh. The punishment for the son is kares. Okay?
What's the purpose of doing a bris milah on an eved? I assume the eved then isn't a Jew, or they would have had it.
Correct. Well, it's a step towards being a Jew, but without getting into the philosophy behind it, my understanding is it's offensive to have an uncircumcised male in your household. Whether now a slave, even an eved kenani, is mitzuvah in mitzvos and is obligated in certain mitzvos, and so we call them an eved kenani. But in fact, they live in some in-between world. They're not really full Gentiles, and they're certainly, you're right, they're certainly not full Jews, but it speaks to this issue. And the issue is there's a communal obligation against uncircumcised males. Okay.
Ellie, years ago, you had given...
Are they eved permanently? Are they permanently attached to that household?
Yes, an eved kenani is a permanent eved, correct.
Ellie, years ago, you had given a shiur on the Bnei Keturah, whether the Chiv Mila for them was only...
Right, I didn't want to get into that. The Rambam does recognize the possibility, right, that the descendants of Yishmael have some mitzvah of Bris Mila. You know, it obviously would be strange that that's the case, but Jackie's right. There might be something to it, to the fact that Bris Mila could apply to more than just Jews. Again, this week's parsha, the focus is Yishmael, right? Yitzchak wasn't born yet. All these psukim, you know, you could say that the focus is completely on Avraham Avinu. That's not really true, right? It includes Yishmael, which raises interesting issues that we're not going to discuss.
Ellie, is there a difference between mitzvahs that are upon you versus mitzvahs that you have to perform for others? The bris milah is a mitzvah that's not it's not you. You're doing it for someone else. Versus if I take a lulav and esrog, it's for me. If I go into
it's
for me.
Right, but that's not, you know, that's the context of the mitzvah, right? If you go back to the psukim, you know, Avram Avinu was told, himol lachem kol zachar, you know, ben shmonat yamim, it's clear that in the giving of the mitzvah, there's, you know, the obligation is going to fall on somebody else to circumcise the child. That's why I'm saying, and that's why I started with, you know, there are three parts to the mitzvah. There's the original lechatchila situation, which the father has a mitzvah to circumcise his son on the eighth day. There's the next backup, which he doesn't do it, so the community does it. Then there's the third backup, that at the end of the day, ultimately, if you're above bar mitzvah and you're uncircumcised, it's your fault. Okay, now, I want to suggest that when, you know, it's clear that bris milah is obviously more complicated than lulav, in the sense that there are different levels of obligation and different times in which the obligation falls on us. And I think that that's reflected in the brachos to a certain extent. I'll explain. When you look at mitzvahs d'oraisa, every mitzvah d'oraisa has one bracha. It's true, sometimes you say shechianu, but that's not a result of the particular mitzvah. That's a result of the fact that it's a mitzvah that comes from time to time. But, you know, every single mitzvah, shofar, matzah, sukkah, lulav, mezuzah, everything, one bracha. Except the only one I could think of is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which has two or
Hanukkah.
Three. Huh?
Hanukkah.
I said mitzvah d'oraisa.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Tefillin.
What?
Tefillin.
No, the Rambam counts tefillin as two separate mitzvahs. You make a bracha on a mitzvah called tefillin shel yad. You make a bracha on a mitzvah called tefillin shel rosh. Okay. The one that stands out to me is Talmud Torah, where you say Asher bachar banu, Asher nasan lanu, harevno Hashem Elokeinu, right? And I think, not to give a shiur on Talmud Torah, that's because there are multiple aspects to the obligation to learn Torah, and they're reflected in multiple mitzvahs. I think that bris milah has more than one bracha, because there's more than one way to look at it, and there's more than one way to be obligated in it. Let's look at the Rambam when he deals with the brachos. Source number 5, the Rambam Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Milah. The Rambam says, Hamol, the Moel, Mevarech Kodem Sheyimol Asheki Dishanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Al Hamila. Okay, that's how we know it. Very good. But the Rambam says, no, that's not the only way you make that bracha. Here's an interesting thing. He says, that applies im mol ben chavero. That's if you're a moel and you're circumcising somebody else's kid. V'im mol et bino mivarech asher kidishanam v'sav v'tzivanu lamul et habe. The Rambam has two versions of the bracha depending on whether you're doing it for somebody else or for your son. Why? So it turns out, you know, if we ask ourselves, we also struggle with that, right? Why do we say al netilat yadayim versus litol yadayim? Why do we say lahaniach tefillin and al mitzvah tefillin? It's a big discussion why we sometimes say la, you know, as the form of, you know, al achilat matzah, lishmoa kol shofar, right? Al achilat matzah, great. Al shmiat shofar. So the Rambam has a rule. Don't ask me, because there's more exceptions to the rule than the rule itself. But here's what the Rambam says in source number 6 in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph Hilchos Brachos. Kol ha'usem mitzvah ben shehayta chova alav ben she'ena chova alav. Anybody who does a maisa ha'mitzvah, whether he was obligated or not, im asa ota le'atzmo Mivarech la'asot, asa ota la'acherim, mivarech al ha'asiya. Okay? So now I understand the answer. The Rambam says, when I give a bris milah to my son, that's my obligation. Therefore, I'm going to make a bracha of lamul et habeng. But if I'm doing a bris milah for somebody else's son, it's not my mitzvah. It's true, of course, I'm doing a Maisa HaMitzvah, and there's a great Kima Mitzvah, and certainly in the end, the boy will not be an RL. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's a different bracha. It's Al. because it's not my obligation. Okay? So you see already that it's reflected in the bracha that you make in the Rambam. There's a difference between circumcising your own son, which clearly the Rambam believes is your unqualified obligation. You're the father, it's your obligation. Circumcising somebody else's son is a maisa hamitzvah, but it's not your obligation. That's for the first bracha. Okay? Then the Rambam says in the second line of source number 5, Va'avi haben mivarech bracha acher. You have the mo'el, he makes al hamila or lamula tabeng. Then you have the father who says, Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'hachniso b'brito shel Avraham Avinu. Right? Maybe I think, you know, the most beautiful Birchas HaMitzvah that we have. Okay? People who think that Birchas HaErisin under the chuppah is beautiful because they sing it, they're not listening to the words. Okay? This is a beautiful bracha. So, why two brachas? So it's clear. One bracha is on the Maisa HaMitzvah. The other is on, you know, the result. It's not a coincidence, but when you do the mitzvah of Mila, the Nimol, you know, enters the cow of Avram Avinu. Yeah, it's true. He's sleeping and he doesn't know anything. He's 8 days old. But there's two. And then the Rambam says, mitzvah al ha'av lamulat bino yoter al mitzvah shemitzuvin Yisrael sheyamulu kol orel shebeinahem. The primary obligor in the mitzvah is the father. He has the primary chiyuv. The other people have a secondary chiyuv. Now listen to this. Lefikach im ein sham aviv, ein mevarchin acharei bracha zo. This is interesting. I don't think we pask in this way. I'm pretty sure we don't. The Rambam says if there's no father, then nobody makes the bracha of lahachniso bivrito shel Avraham Avinu, because they're just doing the act. They're not fulfilling an obligation to have the child enter the covenant. Says the Rambam, v'yeshmi shehoreshe yivarchu ota beitin o achad min ha'am. Other people say, no, somebody should make the bracha. Ve'ein ra'ui la'asot kein. The Rambam is against it. I think, although I can't remember, like being at a bris milah where the father wasn't there, but I think our minhag would be that if the father's not there, somebody else makes the bracha. But you see within the Rambam that really the mitzvah belongs to the father. And there are things, you know, it belongs to the father, A, in that if he was the Moel, he would make a different bracha. He would make Lamul al etabeng, not al hamila. Second, he gets to make the bracha of Lachniso b'brito shel Avraham Avinu. And if he's not there, according to the Rambam, that bracha is not made.
Ellie, do we have a nusach of the bracha for an Eved? Maybe we have enough kamina here on
this. No, so I don't think, I'm quite sure that nobody makes a bracha of Lachniso b'briso shel Avraham Avinu. Again, I'm pretty sure it's not covered in any of these practical halacha books, since it's been a while since we did this. But my sense is, no, there's no way that you would make that bracha for an Eved. Because there, I don't want to get off the track, but there I think the objection is to having an Orel. Right? To have an Orel.
Yep.
Be part of the community, that's offensive to us. The point is not to be machnis in bevriso shel Avraham Avinu. The point is simply, you know, there's no way in between. In order for you not to be an Orel, you need a bris milah. But the purpose of the bris milah is not to make him a full-fledged Jew. Okay.
But what I'm saying, that may be the difference. A father might have the obligation to bring his son into the bris, whereas the Beis Din only has the obligation to avoid us from having an Orel in our community.
It could be. I want to disagree, but I don't really have a source to prove it. So, you know, you could be right.
Ellie, okay. somebody performed the bris yesterday without the father and actually without the mother knowing either, and they didn't make a bracha. So
you know that? It happened yesterday?
Yeah.
What, did you kidnap the kid?
It was a doctor who did it. They asked to do a circumcision, so he did it halachically, you know, properly.
Yeah.
They didn't make a bracha.
They didn't make a bracha because he didn't want to get into trouble, or because somebody paskin that it's not a mitzvah?
Because somebody paskin halachically, they didn't make I guess they
didn't even they didn't even make al hamila.
I will find that out.
Okay, it seems to me, you know, you obviously have to make al hamila. It's a ma'isa hamitzvah. Maybe you don't make lachnis of risa shalom ravinu again, or perhaps in this case, you know, they wanted to pretend that it was a surgery, so they didn't want to make a bracha in front of, you know, the surgical crew, because then the guy will get into trouble. Let's face it, you know, we love brachos, but much more important is to do the mitzvah, right? If you have a bris milah without a bracha, it's 100% a bris milah. If you took a lulav without a bracha, if you sat in a sukkah, if you ate matzah, you know, they don't need a bracha. If you put on tefillin without a bracha, you yotzei 100% the mitzvah. You just, you know, you just didn't make a bracha. Okay.
Eating without a bracha might be a problem, but that's the difference.
Right, that's not a birchas hamitzvah.
It's true.
Okay, let's not, you know, catch each other on these things. I understand you're drinking beer, you feel loose, but still. Okay, now, this raises this fascinating issue that gets discussed from time to time, and that is, if the, you know, if the father could do it, right, shouldn't he be the mo'el? Is there a difference between, you know, doing it yourself or appointing a shliach? This, you know, bris milah is an interesting case which yields a whole discussion about the possibility of the role of a shliach. Now, we all know the general rule of shlucho shel adam kemoso. Okay? If you get a shliach to do it, it's as if you do it. But of course, we know that that doesn't apply in many cases. Right? Where doesn't that apply? So let's do the easy one, right? You can't sleep late and have somebody say Shema for you, right? You can't have somebody put on tefillin for you. You can't have somebody take a lulav. You can't do any of that. What are the rules? So it's bizarre. You know, everybody quotes this shoot Marach or Zaruh. The Marach or Zaruh was the son.
Ellie, those aren't good comparisons. Isn't that, that's not
comparison to what? I didn't say anything yet. What do you mean?
Okay, I'll say it now.
So Henry could disagree. I'm saying if you can't have somebody put on tefillin for you, if you can't have somebody take a lulav for you, why should you be able to have somebody circumcise your son if it's your mitzvah to do? So I know what the answer could be. So let's see. So the Marach Har Zeruah says as follows. Vishema shchita, right? Obviously, we have people slaughter an animal for us. Vafrashas chala. Ein mitzvasan ela shetitaken ha'isa midirsiv gabe truma gamatem ashmainan sheikar mitzvata rak litaken ha'isa v'liten chala l'kohen. He says, how can you have somebody slaughter an animal for you? Isn't it your mitzvah? And he says, no. The mitzvah is to make the animal kosher. The mitzvah is to take challah from the isa so that you can eat the challah. In our language, it's a result-oriented mitzvah. V'chein sheyishchat hanishchat, v'chein kiddushin. Ikar ha-mitzvah shetehelo isha mikudeshet. Right? Marriage, which we all know can be done via a shaliach, it's a result-oriented mitzvah, meaning the point isn't to do the ceremony. The point is to have a ceremony, the result of which is a change in the legal status. V'chein begerishin. Divorce is the same thing. Uva hafrashas truma, ushchitas kadshim, ubikvias mezuzah va'asiyas makeh. Right? The mitzvah of mezuzah is not to put, you know, the parchment with parshas kriyashma on your door. The mitzvah is to have the parchment with kriyashma on your door. The mitzvah of ma'akeh, a railing around the porch, is not to build the railing. It's to have a railing so that people don't fall off. Which is why, for example, it's strange, right? You can be yotzei the mitzvah of ma'akeh. I was yotzei the mitzvah of ma'akeh with Italians. Okay, the people who built our deck many years ago in Teaneck were not God-fearing Jews. They were God-fearing Italians, actually. Okay? But it's okay. And you could make a bracha. They actually let me, you know, use the power tools to make me feel part of it. We did like as a family, made a bracha on makkah. But the point is, it's not the Maisa HaMitzvah. The mitzvah is to have it. Okay, the mitzvah is the result, says the Or Zeruah. Aval bitfilin vitzitzis va'achilas matzah v'sukkah v'lulav ein shayach shlichut. Why? So the rule is clear, and this is almost everybody agrees with this. A result-oriented mitzvah can be done via a shaliach. But an act-oriented mitzvah, a mitzvah shebegufo, right? You can't have somebody else do it, right? The mitzvah is to wear tefillin. The mitzvah is to wear tzitzis. The mitzvah is to eat matzah. The mitzvah is to hear shofar. The mitzvah is to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. The mitzvah, okay? So those can never be done via a shaliach. Only mitzvahs that are result-oriented. Now, as Henry was getting upset, right? The question is, how do we see bris milah? So in theory, if the mitzvah is on the father to circumcise his son, then you could never have a shaliach. But if the mitzvah is on the father to make sure that his son is circumcised, then of course you can have a shaliach. So says the Ma'arach or Zoru and a different tshuva in source number 8, Umeinyan hamila nired de ein ha'av chayav lomul bino biyadav. He says, so obviously, bris milah is not the act. The father is obligated to do an act. The father's obligation is to ensure that his son gets a bris milah. Dumya dechal hani dechashiv hasam. He says, look at the Gemara. The father is obligated to teach his son Torah, to teach his son a profession, to teach him how to swim. V'chilo yiskar melamed livno l'toro l'chal hani. Does anybody think the father's not yotze by paying tuition for the school? Of course he is. O basukot, tichtiv chagasukot ta'aseh. V'darshinan ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. Does anybody think that if somebody else builds a sukkah for you, you didn't get the mitzvah? Of course not. Your obligation is not to take a hammer and nails. Your obligation is to make sure that you have a sukkah. Im kein, al korchach. Koi ta'aseh asukah, shechayav batzmo lasot sukkah, v'chilo yomar l'acher lasot sukkah. How could that be? Ela kol hani ikar mitzvatan eino ha'asiya, ela shehamila chatuma bibsaro. Says the Ma'arach or Zeruah, the mitzvah of bris milah is to make sure that your son is a mohel. Therefore, if the mitzvah is result-oriented, of course you can have a shliach. And thank God for most of us that that's the case. But it turns out it's a machlokes. Says the Shach, based on a rush, I think you could argue it even within the Rambam, but nobody does that. Although, well, it's not true, nobody. The Shach says false. He describes the mitzvah as being sort of, you know, act-oriented. And he says, V'katavti zeh, lifi shera'iti kama anashim mechabdim la'acherim lamul et b'nehem, af shehem ba'atzmam yecholim lamul. Says the Shach, you know, I went to a bris recently, and the father was a surgeon, but he decided, you know, to be mechabed somebody else to be the mohel. Uleda'ati heim mevatlim mitzvat asay. He says he thinks in that case the father simply he's being mevatlim mitzvat asay. Umitzvah gedola shel mila v'yesh lebeitin levatel hadavar hazeh. The Shach says we have to come out with a statement saying wherever possible the father should do the bris milah, because if he can and he doesn't, he's missing out on the mitzvah, and that's a terrible thing. Okay? That's a big discussion, again, based on whether it's act-oriented or result-oriented. I don't believe for a second that the Shach thinks that I had to be mal my sons. There's no way I could have ever done it. But there's a famous story which is too great to be true, but I'll tell it anyway. The story is that when Rav Moshe Lichtenstein was born, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said to the Rav, it's also a Reb Chaim. He says, I'm thinking of being choshesh for the Shach and Reb Chaim. You know, apparently I've seen this done, like the moral could set it up, you know, so that the father just has to do something. Again, in a million years, I couldn't have done it. But so the story is that the Rav said to him, I won't do the imitation because it's disrespectful. The Rav said to him, It's a very interesting Reb Chaim, but not on my grandson. Okay, so there is this idea out there that the that it might be act oriented, but I think overwhelmingly we think that it's not act oriented. And then you go back to the original case, which is, wait, if we say that shlucho shalom kemoso, so what's the difference, right? Because we also say mitzvah bo yosem mibi shlucho. It's always better to do it yourself. Okay, Rav Asher has a piece in which he talks about, you know, the mitzvah itself and the skulas hamitzvah. He says if you use a shaliach, of course the mitzvah happened, but you lose out on the reward for having done the mitzvah. You know, the mitzvah occurred and you fulfilled your obligation, but he says, but it can't be, you know, that it's as if you did the mitzvah, you didn't do the mitzvah. Okay, so far in terms of, you know, the halachic concepts that apply, I want to just spend the last few minutes doing a little bit of machshava in terms of the role of bris milah. We'll start as follows. You know, what does it mean? And I think I've said this before. What does it mean that there are only two mitzvos, asay, the punishment for which is kares? What it means is that there's something unique about those mitzvos. There's something unique about the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and there's something unique about the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Now, you know, everybody could say what they want in terms of what's unique. They're clearly foundational mitzvos within Judaism, but looking backwards, there's something very interesting, and you see it in America. If you Google this, it turns out obviously most Israelis are not religious and are not observant. But more than 90% of Israelis participate in some form of a Seder. And more than 90% of Israelis circumcise their sons. It strikes me that, you know, if you don't keep Shabbos, you're a Jew who doesn't keep Shabbos, you know. And if you don't keep other rules, you know, you're a member of the tribe and you're just not observant. But if you don't circumcise your son, it's like you're saying, I don't want to be part of the people. If you don't participate in some kind of, you know, Pesach night ceremony, it's like you're saying, I don't want to be part of the people. Or said another way, in this case, I would suggest that kares is much less a punishment and just the result. At some point, you're literally cut off. Why? Not because it's a punishment, because you've chosen to cut yourself off from the Jewish people. How did you do that? You did that by not circumcising your son or by you not having a circumcision. It means I don't care enough to be part of the Jewish people. And so in many ways, I think the halacha really is the punishment of kares is uniquely applied to lo tases. There are two assays where it's not that you're punished by getting kares. The result of your non-identification with Am Yisrael is that you're simply cut off, literally, you know, the way kares is described. Okay. Now, based on that, it's obviously the case that Bris Milah plays a role that I guess you could say, you know, is a bigger role than almost any other mitzvah in the Torah. And certainly, you know, having it from Avraham Avinu and the history and all the sophistication, you know, must yield some kind of bigger idea. So the Chinuch hints at this. He says, Mishar she mitzvah zo, right? There's the second Chinuch. We must have done it plenty of times in the old days in source number 10. Lefi sherotza Hashem yitbarach likvo ba'am asher hivdil liyot nikra al shimo. Ot kavua begufam, God wanted a permanent sign on the chosen people. Lahavdilam mishar ha'amim bitzurat gufam, to separate them from all other nations in their physical bodies. Kimoshehem muvdalim mehem bitzurat nafshotam. Right, the Chinuch says, you know, if there was some kind of CAT scan or something like that, you know, it would show that we're different, our souls are different than those of Gentiles. So we wanted that with respect to the physical body as well. Hashem motzam umovam einenu shaveh. V'nikva ha'avdel bigulat hazahav lefi shehu siba l'kiyum amin. Obviously, the sign then is inscribed on the part of the male body, which assures continuation of the species. Milvad sheyesh bo tashlum tzurat haguf. In addition, it's also the completion of the human body. And the chosen people, God wants to have a perfected body. Right? The obvious question, if God wanted us to be circumcised, well, why weren't we born that way? Says the Chinuch, he wanted us to do it ourselves. He didn't make us perfect from birth. Lirmoz elav. Just like the perfection of our bodies is in our control, so too is the perfection of our souls, the perfection of our actions. Okay, this point is expanded on in a famous medrash, and it's a fantastic medrash. You know, Turnus Rufus Harasha, source number 11. You know, if your nickname in Chazal is Harasha, you know, you're not a good guy. Okay, he's a Roman general. But apparently he had a relationship with Rabbi Akiva. There's more than one Medrash, and maybe more than one Gemara, in which they have this kind of dialogue between them. Okay, so just by way of background, you know, Romans hated circumcision. They worshipped the human body as, you know, as produced, and they were always trying to get rid of Bris Mila, and they were always offended by it. Why? Shal Turnus Rufus Harash at Rabbi Akiva. Eze ma'asim na'im. Whose actions are more pleasant? Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu o shel basar vadam? God or man? Omalei shel basar vadam na'im. That's shocking. Rabbi Akiva says no. Human creations, human actions are better than God's. It's crazy. Omalei Turnus Rufus Harash. Wait, could you create the heavens and the earth? No, don't ask me something that human beings can't do. No, obviously I can't create a world, but if you ask me whose actions are better, the actions of human beings, assuming they could do them, they're capable of doing them, or of God, I vote for human beings. Doesn't make any sense. Then Turnus Rufus reveals his cards. Amalo, lama atem mulim. Why are you circumcised? Amalo, Rabbi Kiva says to him, you know, I didn't get to be the God of Ador for nothing. Af ani hayiti yodea sha'ata atid lomar li kein. I knew that you were going to raise this question. Lachain hikdamti va'amarti lacha. That's why I said, ma'aseh basar v'adam, hein na'im mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now look what Rabbi Akiva does. He says, Haviuli shibolim v'gluskaot. Bring me, you know, wheat, stalks of wheat, and loaves of bread. Amar lo, elu ma'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the wheat is what God made. Ve'elu ma'aseh basar v'adam, loaves of bread, that's what we made. Ein elu na'im, isn't bread better than wheat? Haviuli anutzei pishtan v'kelim mi'beit shan. Bring me, you know, flax, and a finished suit. Amalo elu maseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made the raw material, ve'elu maseh basar v'adam, but this is what we did with it. Ein elu na'im, amalei Turnus Rufus, ho'el v'hu chafetz b'mila, if God wanted to be circumcised, lama einu yotzei mahul, so why didn't he just born that way? Mime'imo. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, v'lama shoriro yotzei bo, like why does the umbilical cord go out? Right? Can't you just do it yourself? God gave us mitzvos to perfect us with. The understanding of this medrash is simple and profound. Says Rabbi Akiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create a perfect world. He did not even create a completed world. And he did not create a completed male human being. He created an incomplete world, and the symbolism of Bris Mila is that he told us to perfect the world. I think it's a Maharal who says, you know, God appears to Avraham Avinu and he says, Ani Kael Shakai. Kel Shakai, that's the first time the term is used in the Torah. The drasha is Kel Shakai, Ani hu sha'amar la'olam dai. I'm the one who said during creation enough, meaning God created the world in 7 days, but he could have done much more. He could have created the world without cancer. He could have created the world without evil. He could have created the world without corona. He could have done all of these things. What does Bris Mila symbolize? It symbolizes our partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a bris, a covenant, have commitments on both sides. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you the land of Israel. I'll make you the chosen people, so long as you do the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Yeah, it means you have to do the mitzvah of Bris Mila, of course. But you have to do much more than that. The mitzvah of Bris Mila is symbolic in the sense, I mean, it's real, but it symbolizes the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an incomplete world that he asks us to complete. So the Chinuch says, just like we perfect our physical beings, we have to perfect our spiritual beings. But I think in the Medrash with Rabbi Akiva, it's much more than that. You know, God didn't make loaves of bread, and God didn't make clothing, although in Gan Eden a tiny bit, right? God left all that to us. And so the idea that it's a Jewish approach to say, well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do it, apparently he didn't want it to be done, that's inconsistent with the mitzvah of Bris Mila. The mitzvah of Bris Mila says to us that we are obligated wherever and whenever, obviously, you know, you have to pick your spots, but to perfect the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never claimed to create a perfect world. And so the mitzvah of Bris Mila is critical, you know, for what it means for us, but it's also critical for what it means about our relationship with the world and what it means about what God, of course, he expects of us to circumcise our sons. But that's the first step towards becoming people, as it's our obligation, not just spiritually, but I don't know, physically, realistically, to do whatever we can to perfect the world. All right. Those are the points of Bris Mila that we have time to deal with today. I have no, in case people think like I had some agenda behind that little speech, no agenda whatsoever. I just think it's obvious and we ought to discuss it more than we do. Shabbat Shalom to everyone.